Yoga is, to me, the answer. I mean, really, I think yoga has got so much wisdom. People think it's just a physical body practice, which is important. You need to be strong, strong muscles, strong bones, strong joints, strong body. Do you know that yoga is for the mind? Ayurveda is for the body. So yoga is really for the mind to manage mental energy.
I mean, the word itself means whole. We're healthy and whole, feeling one.
Welcome to Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. I am Debbie Robinson, your host and guide on your Stronger Bones Lifestyle journey.
My next guest is Dr. Grace Liu, pharmacist. A prominent figure in the microbiome medicine, stands as the founder of the Gut Institute and the esteemed host of the Microbiome Medicine Conference held in Vancouver. She offers a range of educational programs and modules, including the Microbiome Bootcamp and specialized courses on medical peptides for the microbiome. As a formulator of innovative products like probiotics and prebiotics, Dr. Liu has solidified her position as an influential figure in the realm of gut health. Her expertise extends beyond formulation as she actively serves on advisory boards and as a consultant for biome and medtech companies, contributing to advancements in the field. A sought-after keynote speaker and best-selling author of 7 Steps to Heal SIBO and SIFO, Dr. Liu's insights have reached global platforms, including Gaia TV, UCSF, and renowned publications like Women's Health Magazine. Her motto, Bugs Over Drugs, underscores her commitment to natural approaches for healing. Beyond her professional endeavors, Dr. Grace Liu cherishes time spent with family and friends in the picturesque Bay Area of California. Whether engaging in outdoor activities or indulging in her love for literature, she continues to inspire and transform the landscape of gut health and functional medicine. Today on Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast, I am welcoming Grace Liu, a pharmacist and gut goddess, to have a discussion on gut health. Welcome, Grace.
Awesome. We're a good pair.
Because it's all about function, and it's all, no matter what aspect of your body you want to perform or to be there for you to rely on, you have to have a healthy internal environment. You have to have a healthy metabolism for all of this to occur.
Right. You have to be happy, whole, a good healthy microbiome.
Yeah. You have to have all systems go, everything working. Yeah. Okay. So let's start. I want to start with this tagline that you use, bugs over drugs.
Yes. I mean, I'm not particular, you know, I'm agnostic, like certain drugs we use even in my teachings. I coach health coaches and practitioners, concierge doctors on the best gut approaches, as well as regenerative medicine approaches. And there's certain drugs we have to use because our microbiome is just so messed up to adjust things there quickly or in a safe way. We do need a little bit of pharmaceuticals because it's so jacked up. You know, we do use some pharmaceutical antiparasitics, you know, ivermectin sometimes, or antifungals, because they help to, you know, adjust things in a really safe way. But we always pair it with like really healthy bypasses so we don't drive drug resistance, and we are doing it as safe as possible, and lots of probiotics to shift the terrain, which is ultimately what we're doing.
Yeah, I say internal balance. And because I specialize in bones, everyone's so concerned about fall prevention, which is very important. External balance is important, but it's internally where the balance needs to be optimized for all body functions to take place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And some people, you know, for balance, I'm glad you brought it up, because it's also not just our gut balance and the flora there, having diversity, abundance of the keystone flora, but where are some of the microbiome's pollution ending up? You know, our carburetor has to clean up things for the car. We have cleanup crews, and one pollutant is called oxalates, which can end up as stones in the inner ear. So then people's balance is off, right? They have ataxia, they can't stand up straight, they're a fall risk. And we can have stones elsewhere in our mucosal. It could be our fibrocystic breasts. We want them clear, no fibrosis. Could be the liver. You know, a lot of people have fatty liver, NASH, non-alcoholic steatosis, hepatitis. It's such an epidemic. Even children get it. Well, they're getting fibrosis at the liver level. It's from mold, candida, and other things that are making oxalates. And they start to crystallize and form, you know, fibrosis. And people don't know this. Mold and candida, they make oxalates. The biggest repository of them is the bone, the skeletal system. So when they're there, then we're not making strong, fortified hips, knees, shoulders, spine, and we're at risk for fractures and osteopenia, osteoporosis. I know I'm speaking your language. So how do we reverse that, right?
You're more than speaking my language. Before we do the reversal of that, so I, for some reason, oxalates is coming my way. It right now, there's so many foods being demonized, and women that have bone health issues are avoiding spinach. Some woman told me yesterday, I gave up carrots because they're high oxalate. Some woman in class the other day told me she's giving up sweet potatoes.
Okay, so our probiotic breaks down oxalates. We have 5 out of 7 species that are oxalate degraders. And when we have stress or antibiotics or both, we break them down. We kill off these species. Studies show we instantly, they're gone. And we start to, our urine starts to have high oxalates. It's called hypooxaluria. But we can resorb that. We can reabsorb it, or having them transform is really what we want, because our flora does it. And the ideal amount of these is 5% of our gut flora. If we do a stool sample, like a 16S study or any other kind of, you know, stool exam that we do in functional medicine, like a GI map kit. That's like one of my favorite. Yeah. But we need 5% to be these good bifidobacteria. So we have the highest strength in the industry, because we also overstuff it. There's like 5 to 10x more than what's actually stated on the label. And it's 100 billion per capsule. Or if we do like 1/4 teaspoon is a serving size here. So we have people put it into shakes. You know, they're at a high dose, whatever they tolerate, for about a month or two. And then we go to maintenance, which is just 2 doses a week. But we lose these when we're under stress, or again, if we have antibiotics. Who has antibiotics? Well, everybody. If it's not them, it's their mom. So then they don't get these species from their mom. They've been extinct, wiped out, which is the case in the Western world right now.
Okay, that's important.
Yeah, it's not just us eating antibiotics. It's the chicken, they're fed antibiotics, the cat, the pork, the beef.
Yeah, and most antibiotic use has been used on our animals. A lot of our antibiotics are used. I want to say at one point I heard maybe up to 70% of all total antibiotics are used in farming practices with animals.
Yeah, and if they're using antibiotics, then guess what overgrows? Yeast and mold. They have no more. These are our cavalry that protect us from mold. Why is mold such a big problem now? Well, it's not really a big problem. It's because we're missing these and we can't break them down. These are antifungal, anti-mold.
Right. So what we're doing is we're actually all the years of, let's say, introduction of toxins, of plastics, of overeating and overconsuming things like gluten, the generation of give me a pill for everything, right? We all took antibiotics. I had a sinus infection when I was 37. Every 3 weeks I was on antibiotics because that's just what we did. Yeah. And we wiped out the gatekeepers of balance.
Exactly. And then once you take one antibiotic, you're at risk for the next infection. So ladies, like I didn't drink enough water one day, I got UTI. Oh my God, I took an antibiotic. Okay, yeah, I helped the UTI within a few hours, but then I got set up for a yeast infection. Then I got set up for another UTI and then another UTI, another, and more and more and more and more antibiotics. Yeah, that's our sick system. And then had I known, if I had taken probiotics, I wouldn't have gotten any of that. And I would have quelled the first infection. I finally figured that out, but after years of antibiotics. So that, even though I'm a pharmacist, yeah, we believe in bugs over drugs.
Okay, so this is fascinating because this is not where we were going to go originally. But in my work, I run functional labs. I do the oat by Mosaic. I do the GI map, the stool. I find yeast very high percentage of the time in women with osteoporosis. I even find it on a GI map, which is not a sensitive enough test to really pick it up. So if it's there, it's really there.
Yeah, GI map is terrible for fungal. If you happen to find GI map on to be positive for candida, that means they actually have mold. They have mold and candida. If the oat... I look at the first 9 markers on the Mosaic oat organic acid. This is the way I teach it. If you come to, we have a continuing education on our website at thegutinstitute.com for coaches or anyone interested. My parameters are that the mold and fungal markers are between 0, 9 to 20% of the lab range on the Mosaic or organic acid test. So nobody hits that. And I want all 9. So when they go through our protocols, which is usually overlaying an antiparasitic protocol with an antifungal protocol, and sometimes with without an antifungal weekly, we were able to bring that down. The mold markers, marker 2469, okay, these are all the FUs, furanoic acid, the furans. They're all FUs, you know, because they're mold markers. These come from Aspergillus and Fusarium. They should be zero, none, like none. Because when they're in the system, they're pumping out oxalates. And for the vulnerable person, this is starting to drive osteopenia, osteoporosis. We're literally disintegrating our bone to calcify soft tissue. It could be a joint. That's two steps away from joint, you know, knee, shoulder, hip replacements. Yeah, I know young people 40s that are getting knee and hip replacements. There's nothing wrong with them. They're mold and Lyme. And because once you have mold, you got everything else. You've got Epstein-Barr, you've got Lyme, you've got five kinds of co-infections, blah, blah, blah. And SIBO, of course, and parasites. But, you know, we get, yeah, these are overwhelmingly the organic acid from Mosaic. You have to read it a little differently than they do. They take their controls are Kansas City people. That's the corn zone. And they all GMO corn and, you know, glyphosate toxic, and they're high mold. High and candida. So we have low markers of tolerance.
So then when we have this breakdown that's been happening for years, and this is what I see in my population, then this also leads to SIBO, right? So talk about the SIBO relationship. So SIBO, FIFO.
Yeah. You know, when you read gastroenterology studies, none of them are doing gold standard testing, which is to literally biopsy the small intestinal tract. They only do that for celiac. To test for celiac. But if we find SIBO, invariably there's also SIFO, small intestinal fungal overgrowth. You can't have one without the other. That's just nature. Yeah, you take off the apex predator, which is, again, keystone flora that belong in the gut since the dawn of time. If you take out keystone, like it's like taking out the wolf at Yellowstone. What happened? Well, then the herbivores overgrew. They started chomping on all the plants and trees and bushes. And then literally the lakes and rivers start to cave in. Even the infrastructure of Yellowstone started to change, besides having an overpopulation of weedy herbivores, you know, elk, deer, blah, blah, blah. So we need balance, just like you're talking about, the internal balance as well as our external environment balance. And then you add in stress. Let's say people are around toxic work, toxic boss, toxic spouse, toxic friends. Then they have this internal hypervigilance and stress going on. Their parasympathetic nervous system is never relaxed. So their digestion and rest and restoration are off. We got to switch it back on again. So breath work, I like Kundalini yoga personally, but all yoga is fantastic. Chair yoga and a little bit of, you know, resistance training. Anything good for our muscles and mitochondria is also good for our little microbes. Our microbes are mitochondria. Yeah. So It's a holistic effect. Yeah. Bones take 6 to 12 months to heal, and then definitely get off Fosamax and other bisphosphonates, which are leading to osteonecrosis, the bones dying.
So those are the bisphosphonates, right?
Yeah. They don't prevent any fractures at all. They make the bones brittle.
Yeah. They actually don't reach the goal, the intended goal. Now, what about the other medications like Forteo and Avinity? Do you know much about those? All the other animals?
Using bone peptides and generating our own peptides, because all the peptides are antimicrobial for one in a good way. And they're also healing at every level, but there are certain peptides that are stronger for bone. I lean toward those and the bioregulators like epitalin, pineolion. These are the ones that come from our glandular system, and to have a balance of hormones. Most people with osteopenia process, because of the stress, it's stealing the anabolic hormones. So for women, we lose progesterone, we grow estrogen dominance. Estrogen dominance is a risk factor for osteopenia and osteoporosis. So we want to bring that back into balance. For men as well, they're getting osteopenia process too. So when they get stressed, they get estrogen dominant as well, and they lose their testosterone. If we instantly give testosterone to either men or women, we're growing bone. It's anabolic. So we want to balance the hormones and reduce exposures to xenoestrogens, like what you mentioned, plastics, phthalates, flame retardants, all kinds of chemicals. Heavy metals is really a big thing that people overlook. It acts like an estrogen, but you don't detect it in the system, not on a Dutch test, not on a blood urine, not on a blood hormone panel or a urine salivary panel. You don't see it, but metals irreversibly bind at estrogen alpha receptor sites, which is the cancer sites. I call it estrogen receptor sites, ER sites. ER alpha, when it gets turned on, is carcinogenic, and it probably leads to the degradation of the bone.
So what are some of the best ways to test for metals? First of all, that, but then also, how do we manage that? How can we use our gut to manage what is being brought in, what we're being exposed to?
It's just like any other chelation protocol. You first want to provocate to see the burden. Again, the burden's not always going to be accurate because it shifts and changes, right? As we unlayer things, different burdens show up and change. Yeah. So I like to see an initial burden level, because everyone has some, you know, it's nice to know what it is. So we provocate, use some glutathione, if needed, some other provocators, and then test the urine or hair. Either one are really sufficient, and then track it after that. But you can't chelate heavy metals until you have a healthy gut. People have to have a stool every twice a day. And I do a lot of healing of the gut. If you join one of our programs, you know, we do a heal and seal the gut protocol. It's kind of extensive, you know, because it's hard now. It requires like changing the food. I'm not into low oxalate diets. It tends to worsen people. We do a moderate oxalate diet if they're high in mold or high in histamines. Third, we bring in the terrain, you know, just like a garden. You know, if you're missing something in the soil, you bring it in. These are like the earthworms. A good regenerative soil or a good farm, a good garden, you can tell how good it is by the composition, right, of the soil. It's dark and moist, and it's got a density of earthworms. The higher the earthworms, the healthier the soil. These are the earthworms of our gut. And they digest, and they secrete amazing things. Earthworm, their poop is like compost, it's like nutrient dense. The poop of our good bacteria is nutrient dense. It's got butyrate, acetate. Acetate is antimicrobial and antifungal. Butyrate, as we know it, it's anti-cancer. It probably builds bone as well, I believe, since it, you know, builds. Yeah. So it's just about the terrain, right? And then building it up from there and removing certain toxins in a safe, staggered way.
Yeah. And that's how we began when you were talking about the oxalates, which I'm so glad you are, because it's really sad. There's foods are being demonized. And, you know, it's that whole shot in the dark approach that people take, where they grasp for, maybe I need this supplement, maybe I need this thing, maybe I need that. But it really is a systematic approach. It's working on balance, removing the things that are putting the body out of balance, realizing that you came to this moment in this day out of balance for many reasons, exposure to toxins, what you just said, I didn't think about that. They always talk about being born vaginally versus C-section. But now you're bringing up something even more. What was your mother's life like? If your mother is of the generation of lots of antibiotics, then...
And vaccines, which are antimicrobial as well.
Yeah. So we're just set up for disaster, which is why we're seeing this acceleration in some of these disease states that we're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, some of our clients, they come from carnivore diet, whatever, you know, it worked for them temporarily, but then, you know, 7 months down the line, their foods are even more limited. They are eating even less. And even some of the meats they become allergic to. And it's like, yeah, dude, you're not doing it right. You're not looking at the root issue. The root issue is not that you're allergic to plants. You don't have the flora that break down the oxalates and the plants, the lectins and phytates and other things. We are omnivorous. We're like herbivores. We eat a lot of plants because we have these bacteria. Cows have it in like, what is it? 5 stomachs. They got tons of fermentation going on, and these facultative anaerobes and obligate anaerobes. Like, we are just missing it. We don't have those stomachs now. So we got to rebuild them. And so usually our clients, like, they have limited diet. They can only eat 5-7 things. I'm not joking. In 4 weeks or less, they've doubled, tripled their food selection, including oxalate containing foods, because, you know, they're just missing these. We gradually build this back in. It's just like a wealth portfolio. If someone's bankrupt, you got to see, well, hey, what's going on? How do we rebuild the wealth? Get rid of the debt, right? Bring in the assets. This is an asset.
So when you bring in those species, is that something you start in the beginning? Like, what if you have somebody that has a lot of overgrowth, inflammatory dysbiosis, and they're...
It's histamine free. It's actually net reducing for histamines. That's why I made it. It's histamine free.
That needs to be the product I recommend to all my ladies.
Yeah. And I have people, the capsule you can open and insert half the capsule vaginally. It instantly takes care of yeast infections and UTIs. They all communicate together. And for mold clients in Lyme, we have people dab it in the nose to reduce Marcans.
Yeah.
Or if they have polyps or candida, you know, sinus headaches, migraines, like we start to dab it here once or twice a week. Yeah.
Yeah, physically, we're working on that internal balance. We're bringing in more gatekeepers, more balance of what your body naturally knows what to do and has in order to digest foods, to digest vegetables, and to bring, because the nutrients for building bones are in those foods.
Yes.
They're in the foods that a lot of people are avoiding.
You got to unlock it. Yeah. Because meat is great, but it's not going to have those antioxidants in it. And we want to rebuild the mucus lining. And these will rebuild the mucus lining slowly and steadily.
So these are in the commensal section of the species that are in there in the commensal section of the GI map, for example.
Heavily. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can break it down. There's good bifidobacteria. It's these. Okay. And we have the highest strength in the market for it, particularly the longevity one, Bifidobacteria longum, which is also missing when anyone gets COVID or long COVID. And then there's bad bifido. These bad bifido eat a lot of sugars and they eat a lot of carbs, like adolescentists, Bifidobacter adolescentis. I avoid too many of these because these are the ones overgrowing in SIBO. We need to shift composition to the mucus, the FODMAP eating one. So a lot of people can't tolerate FODMAPs because they got too much Bifido adolescentis. It doesn't eat FODMAP. So then the FODMAPs hang around, they're fermenting and causing gas and burping and farts and blah, 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 GERD, heartburn, and food allergies. So we need to shift it. Once we do that, it just takes 2 to 4 weeks. And then they can eat FODMAPs again. They can eat fiber again, inulin again, food.
Yeah, garlic, onions. So is this, and you mostly do this, Grace, by repopulating with this species.
Yeah, we just like gardening. Like I'm a big fan, and most of the practitioners who come to us, they're fans of like natural living. You know, regenerative agriculture is what we call it. If people go to college for that major, that's how the best farms do it. They're rotating crops. They're using herbivores on the land. The herbivores are pounding nutrients back into Mother Earth to be regenerated. The mycorrhizal networks in the dirt are robust, and the earthworms are the highest densities in these regenerative agriculture plots. And then even the weather pattern changes, desertification stops, heavy rains stop. They get better weather patterns because it's all connected. The microbes literally make up our weather from the oceans as well as the mountains and the land, right? So I take an approach where it's weed, seed, feed, and bring back in the terrain that's missing. I'm kind of a profiler. So when I read the data, whether it's a mosaic organic acid or a DSL GI map, or just looking at someone's body and their history of antecedents, what infections they had and what antibiotics they may have gotten and what exposures they've had, STIs, Lyme, co-infections, all that, and COVID, looking at spike protein patterns. I kind of get that like review, because we have kind of about 88 different systems, looking at Chinese medicine as well as meridians and other things and peptide systems. And then I bring in things that they're missing until they make it themselves. Yeah. So all the testing, it can only give you limited information. You still have to trust your gut and, know what kind of belongs in the system through different studies. So if people come train with me, we go over all that. It's not always clear. Like I mentioned to you, some people say, oh, there's no candida. I didn't see it on the GI map. I'm like, holy, they've got like candida spewing out of their vagina. And for men, like, athlete's foot and jock itch and blah, blah, blah. Like, are you joking? Like, you can't believe that test. That test is, it's useless. And then if we happen to pick up candida on like a GI map, it's really because there's so much, there's mold and the candida. Yeah. So you got to treat both because both are present. Yeah. So regenerative ag is the best approach I've seen, bringing in what's missing. So like rotating crops and then bringing in the herbivores and bringing in the apex predators back in will change the weather pattern. And we do weeding, seeding, feeding very carefully. So when we're weeding, Yeah, you look at what pathogens are present, but I do a little bit and then we overlay it. So it's not, botanicals are really funny, you know. Most are only antibacterial if you use certain things, right? You're not going to hit the yeast and mold. So I layer in antifungals. People miss the parasites. You know, the reason why we don't get earthworms, you know, anchoring into the soil, and these may not stick around because there's too many parasites. And that causes leaky gut. Just like there's too much mold causes leaky gut and breakdown of the bones, a lot of things. And some people, you know, when the microvilli is so degraded, they don't have celiac, but they got too many, they don't have enough of these to protect the microvilli and regrow them. We need these to regrow microvilli. At the tips of microvilli, they're hair-like things that stick up into the small intestine to absorb food, their high surface area and density, right? At the tip is the MTs, the metal transporters. So we can't upload into the body any boron or magnesium or zinc, calcium, all these really important minerals to build strong bone. You can't expect passive infusion in. It doesn't happen that way. They have to be uploaded. And that's because we're missing these. You need these flora to upload at the MT level, metal transporter level. And you can't if there's like fungal, parasitic, viral, and bacterial overgrowth. So we start to lower the burden. It's not forever, and you don't want to overdo it. And then we reinstall these. These are like the default that every human being should have. And one thing unique is Bifidobacterium. It's not found in any other species, animal species, unless they're eating human food. Like it was found in one pork study, but it was only like one or two pigs, but it's probably because they're eating human species. But these are Bifidobacterium is only found in long-lived humans at a high concentration. So we want to mimic what's not there until our body holds on to all of it. And this is kind of the reason why humans became so smart. We had a bifurcation with apes and other primates, Paranthropus, because our brains and our gut grew bigger. And it's because there was a mutation. One of the bifidos from honeybees, which are social bees and the honey that live there. We had a mutation and then it became Bifidobacteria longum. And that's what like helped us, because we could start to break down FODMAPs from honey and mucus. And then these grew larger, like even 70-80% of our bifidos are Bifidobacterium. And we need it. It's part of our healing, our immunity, our bone building, our hormones, our longevity, because these make anti-cancer, anti-Lyme, antiviral peptides. I'm really into peptides because guess what? Where do we get most of our peptides? Our flora. They're called AMPs, antimicrobial peptides, but they're also regenerative, and they're going to extend all our organs to regenerate better, faster, quicker.
Okay. Can you explain? So peptides, are those like building blocks? Are these amino acid chains?
Yeah, they're amino acid chains. Peptides are technically 50 amino acids or less, or 49, you know, amino acids or less. When they're larger, they're called polypeptides or proteins. Just like you eat a protein shake, you know, those are larger ones. We get a lot of peptides from food and we cleave them and then they become healing for us, but we also make them on demand. And they literally, what studies show from out of Russia is that especially the smaller peptides, but I bet the larger ones do as well. We don't have the data completely, but the small ones we do. They touch our DNA and then they manipulate the DNA. They're epigenetic.
They dance with the DNA.
Yeah, they dance with the DNA. And so they stay and live on the DNA as long as the DNA lives. So some cells in our organ systems, they die faster. Like our gut, it literally every cell like replenishes every 72 hours and gets replaced. Our bone, not 72 hours, it's 7 years. Yeah, yeah. So every system has like a lifespan, a life cycle. Studies show out of Russia, again, it's military technology with Professor Cavinson. No matter what the damage is, the wounding, the cancer, we have like certain peptides that we make from our hypothalamus, pituitary, pineal, and other organs like other endocrine glands like the thymus, thyroid, parathyroid, and our gonads. We can regenerate almost anything. So we have a great cocktail we use called Wolverine. It can heal bone breaks and even Achilles heel ruptures. And I sprained my toe recently. I thought I broke it, but I just sprained it. I had pain. And it's like, it's only been a week, but it's almost normal now. I just like pump myself full of Wolverine. It's BPC-157, TB4, and TA1. It's a triplet. set of peptides, and I did the post-recovery, post-surgery dosage, 1 milligram of each and 5 days. And like, bam, it just heals things. So it cuts most healing down by 5 to 10 times. Let's say it takes 5 weeks to heal. It'll be a week, and then people are back at it, whatever they're doing.
Yeah, it's just it's this mindset of using the body and nature to heal and boosting the forces that heal and giving your body what it needs to heal, what it needs to build bones, what it needs to combat diseases or imbalances, cancer, diabetes, and all these metabolic issues. And I know that you had mentioned something, you do a lot of work in weight, right? Fat,
yeah,
fat gain.
So in yoga, people are dripping the nectar from these glands when they're doing yoga, especially an inversion like downward dog, right? And then you add in breath, you're squeezing the brain on inhales and exhales and getting more of the nectar dripping from pineal, pituitary, hypothalamus out. And you do a twist, then you're getting the thymus to squeeze and you're dripping that TB4, TA1, which is 2 parts out of 3 of the Wolverine.
Okay, I didn't even know.
Actually, you're squeezing the gut. You're probably getting PPC 157 too, I forgot.
Okay, so I know that all these things they say are super healing, but you use the scientific aspect. I knew we were compressing organs, compressing tissues. So, and that's how a lot of it works. Like you do like the Jalandhara Bara with a Bandha, which is the neck lock to really stimulate the thyroid. And ironically, today in my class, I was doing breath work, extended exhalation to support detoxification and acidity, which are 2 root causes of bone loss. And I was talking about breath work, like Kapalabhati. Kapalabhati is like emulating a sneeze. It's your,
exactly.
The sneeze is the body's way to remove out of the nostrils anything that got picked up by the cilia that's not going to serve you. A cough exactly. Is to clear your lungs.
You do breath of fire as well?
I do. You know, my population, I need to be more careful. Like some of the movements you're talking about, some of the downward facing dog, if someone has enough flexibility in their hip joint and body awareness, then I can do that. But at the level of osteoporosis, half of all fractures are in the spine. And unless somebody's learned how to move functionally and properly, there's a lot of bending in the spine, flexion, and that's what we need to avoid. So we have to learn how to properly, deeply bend in our hips, bend properly, and have the flexibility in the muscles, especially the posterior chain muscles, to allow that to occur. So some postures, I do deep twisting because that's a great stimulation for the vertebra. But yeah, I don't do like, you know, plow and all of those things. And then Kapalabhati, I'll do Kapalabhati, you know, but I've got to be careful someone doesn't get dizzy and potentially could fall. Yes. So,
yeah, they have to be careful. Yeah. And the breath, it's like dogs, right? They're so naturally happy. Are they? That's because the parasympathetic is turned on when they're panting, right? And their exhale is longer than the inhale. And that's turning on the vagal nerve, which then heals the gut. The gut and vagal nerve are intertwined. It's the 10th cranial nerve that goes to the gut. And so we can set that by pumping that with the breath of fire. And then when we forcefully push it out the nose, right, it's heated air. It's, as you mentioned with the Kapalabhati, right, it's actually when we are feeling the pressure a bit, you know, we retain the breath a bit, we're getting the squeezing of those really beautiful endocrine glands here, and they're dripping that nectar. They're all anti-osteoporosis.
Yeah. So, because one of the stress areas of osteoporosis is the mental, emotional. And so that's one of the things that I really love about you, Grace, is that you know your stuff when it comes to probiotics, medicine. You really research and look at evidence-based scientific research, like really legitimate trials. And in my studies with you over the years, I've taken a couple of different, been involved in your world a little with some of what you've taught. I was always amazed that with that scientific background, you always talked about stress management. It was such a cornerstone to the work that you do.
Well, we're in a stressful world. Gosh, and like so many books are addressing it. And I wish we weren't. You know, I think most people like you and I probably, you know, and my clients, like they go to Europe and they're on vacation for a little while. They don't take their supplements and they are eating gluten dairy without any reserve at all. And they come back a little whiff of gluten. Oh my God, they're in bed. Why is that, right? It's the stress. It's the nervous system factor. They gave themselves permission to eat like an asshole, but they don't give that to themselves here. Why is that? Well, that's a mental stress that they're putting on themselves and a limitation.
Even if it's not conscious, it's being back here, the subconscious part of us that is on high alert because of where we live or what we do or the stress we're under. So even if it's not consciously that you come back here and you're stressed, it's the subconscious part of you that is in that perpetual state if you are a stress monster or don't have any tools to help manage your stress.
Yeah, exactly. And then so many people are isolated. You know, I understand that. Like a lot of my friends are 20, 30, 40, 50, you know, 40 minutes away. And, you know, it's really fun when we all hang out together for a retreat. But, you know, when you live, you know, away from people, your community, we call that Sangha in Sanskrit, right? We're isolated. Like a single neuron versus a neural network doesn't do so well, right? We're all neural linked together. We're all neuro networks. Same with our body. Every organ system is a neural link, a neural system. That's, and they flex together. So yeah. let me, this is something I've been putting out there. We have like five brains. Our normal big brain, right? With all the glands, which is on too much high alert, right? Stress. So when we get out of our head into our heart, but that's the third brain. Okay. But the second brain is the gut. So that's where we like super like, you know, jive on, right? Third brain, the magnetic coherent of the heart is strong. It's even bigger than the brain. It really is. I mean, it's electrical as well, but it is powerful. And that's where we digest things emotionally. And calcium is so important, the influx, outflux. I used to study Cal Modulin at a plant biology lab. Like it definitely influences our bones.
The heart and love. How tell me that link between heart and emotions. Heart and lung?
Oh, Cal Modulin and calcium. Even plants have Cal Modulin. They modulate the influx of calcium for their rigidity and structure and form. We do too. We came from like spineless fish, no bone, right? To become teleos and having a spine base, backbone base organism. And now we do now, right? So to have that, we had to like have enough calcium for heart conduction, the conductivity of electricity for the beating. And then we also needed to have enough calcium to have strong bones to walk against gravity. Yeah. The fourth is fascia. I learned this in my Kundalini class, my teacher, Kelly Callahan. She's like, fascia is innervated with nerves. It's not the connective tissue. I was like, what? Get out of here. Nowhere did I learn that in, you know, decades of anatomy, physiology. A couple of my chiro friends knew, but, and there's whole books on that, especially I think Rolfing covers it. But when we're innervated there, that means our fascia, the connective tissue on the surfaces of everything here, it's a brain. It's the fourth brain. So that's why yoga, when we twist or move or have corpse, you know, Shavasana, the last pose, we're integrating things, all the messages. It's intelligent. Our body is so intelligent. And so if you feed it negative thoughts, it's like, right? Bones break down, organs break down, metabolism breaks down. We get fat, infertile. But when we're healthy and everything's, those four brains are doing great. And the fifth brain is our endocrine glands. They're all innervated by the brain. That's how we can get trickling of the nectar of all these peptides I talk about. You know, literally you can inject thousands of dollars of peptides. I have a lot of friends that do that. I did it for a while. It works, but it's so much better if you make it for yourself and it's free. You know, do some yoga and twists and some breath of fire. We get it all. Okay, some movements are, you can maximize it a bit, but they're a little harder. Not everyone can do it, and you have to have certain faculties, right? So that's the fifth brain. And we can do all of it free if we want. And if we're physically capable, yeah. But everyone can sit there and do breath of fire. Yeah, so I love how all parts of our body are intelligent. We just have to like turn it on a bit.
Yeah, yoga is a science and it's a pretty amazing science.
Yeah, I know. My teacher doesn't like calling it technology, but I think it's high tech.
It is beyond high tech. I went to India twice, studied with my teacher, who's an MD, and his dad was an MD because they've got Western blood in them as well. And so really amazing. So with the breath, I don't know if you know this, but the inhale is a voluntary muscular action. The diaphragm actually draws downward to draw breath in. Lungs are not muscular. They are elastic tissue. So the diaphragm creates a volume pressure drawing in the breath. The inhale is voluntary. The exhalation is an involuntary recoiling of the muscle back to neutral. So in yoga, we actually take control of this subconscious, voluntary, or involuntary action. We do a lot of exhale work, right? Which is going to stimulate and support toxins. You know, you and I didn't talk a lot about toxicity. We kind of did, but the gut is where it's toxicity. It's not where it all begins, because I think the cilia is trapping things, the mouth is trapping things, the skin from absorbing. But yoga is, to me, the answer. I mean, really, I think yoga has got so much wisdom. People think it's just a physical body practice, which is important. Yeah. You need to be strong, strong muscles, strong bones, strong joints, strong body. It is, do you know that yoga is for the mind? Ayurveda is for the body. So yoga is really for the mind to manage mental energy.
Yeah. I mean, the word itself means whole. We're healthy and whole. Feeling one, not like multiple personalities, you know, the stress one versus the non-stress one. It's all one.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you a question, because you are a gut expert. Okay. In functional medicine and in this space, I hear all the time, everything begins in the gut. And I have a Healthy Gut, Healthy Bones program, because I get right into gut work with women that want to reverse their bone loss. Would you say that everything begins in the gut, or do you think everything begins in the layer of the mind?
Oh, that's a really, really good question. I like to switch it, you know. I think the healing begins in the gut, whether it's diaphragm, vagal pumping, healing the lining. The lining really reflects even our bones, you know, what's going in at the core of the bone. Just like the lining of our gut reflects skin and our hormones. You know, I can see anyone's gut just by asking them about PMS or what their menopause journey was like and how their hot flashes are. And for men, you know, how much morning wood they have, boners, and strength in the gym. You know, like, are you getting your ass kicked or are you crushing it, you know, like without gynecomastia and estrogen dominance signs? So, you know, I say that because we have data like coming from Tremulin, this professor at the School of Pharmacy in Adelaide in Australia. He took really healthy dudes and he stressed them out. They all had really high testosterone. They were like age 18 to 45. He got the IRB on it and everything. He stressed them out, gave them a low dose of the cell wall of a toxic gram-negative bacteria, 0.8 nanograms per kilo, not very much. And within 6 hours, their testosterone tanked. So for these men, they develop bone risk. If it was a woman, we'd develop bone risk with that. And that's what's happening with people with bone risk. They're having too much cell wall of toxic gram negative floating through that don't belong in their bloodstream. But these guys were healthy. Within like a few hours, everything was normal again. So when I see people and we heal the gut with like supplements, the weed seed feed program, you know, even just probiotics alone, we see testosterone rise. We see progesterone, which is bone healthy. Rise. I do believe a lot because we've mined out of our, you know, our plots of fields for produce and trees. They don't have minerals. They're sick. The soil's sick. And so if the soil's sick, our gut lining gets sick. We're only as healthy as the water and the land on Earth, Mother Earth. So when we can heal our gut, we're going to see simultaneous, you know, parallel healing with the Earth. And until then, it's kind of dark, dangerous and dark. I work with functional medicine leaders, and when they ignore the gut, they go through 20 umpteen million protocols and biohacks and they don't get nowhere. And then they do our gut program, bam, now everything's working. And they had already spent $100,000 usually by then dealing with mold and Lyme, you know, but still ignoring their gut flora. I can't tell you how much that happens. They're on tons of testosterone if you're a dude. For a woman, they're biohacking, intermittent fasting, Ozempic, you know, infrared sauna every day, blah, 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 you know, umpteen million protocols, but they don't look at their flora. They keep, you know, they still have their, you know, chronic issue, whether it's bone or, you know, bladder. And I can't tell you how many people have IC, interstitial cystitis, or have, you know, brain fog from co-infections and like, long haul COVID is actually one of the hardest things. So that's what actually got me a wake up call last year. I couldn't lose weight. And I was like, so I was having all these issues as well. I had kind of let go of my flora for a while. I was doing the peptides instead. But once I did both, everything got better. Yeah. So we're in a pretty unhealthy environment. And, you know, you talk about stress a lot, Debbie. I love it because we're not going to evade it. It's in the environment of people unless we're around community that don't get stressed. You know, so I highly recommend that for people if they're really dedicated, you know, devoted to healing, to be in a great yoga studio, right? Or be in a great biohacking unit, friend, you know, a community center. You know, we have a lot of friends because they're in a different mindset. They believe in this energetic work and they believe like there is something beyond just pills or potions or powders and even peptides, you know.
All the peas.
Yeah. So yeah, I know. Yeah. So healing starts in the gut because we're, you know, breath, body work, movement, probiotics and biome work. I think they're all great. You know, we still have to look at trauma-informed, you know, therapy and ancestral wounding and all that. But it, you know, I wish there was like one hack I've tried, you know. So I don't want to, yeah, mislead. I wish it was like one thing, but for the right person, it could be, you know, I've definitely seen that when people trust us more because they are able to eat foods.
Right.
Yeah. So awesome when they can eat kale again, or so awesome they can eat gluten again. I like to try have people try it out like 2 to 4 weeks later, 2 to 4 weeks later, or 2 to 4 months later, depending on how ill they are, because then they have trust like, oh, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, because every single food Zoomer that I run, there's a reactivity to gluten. Yet what you're getting me to understand, because I always say, okay, no gluten. And, you know, gluten for thyroid, there's a enzyme in the bile that it affects for fat, for bile secretion, in the gallbladder for bile secretion, which is going to affect fat metabolism. But you're just getting me to understand more that doesn't mean that gluten is the enemy. It's that you're not prepared. We don't have the gatekeepers. We're not robust enough to handle the gluten. And once you become more robust, you can eat the foods, the oxalates, the gluten, or other foods that maybe at first you might have to give up.
Yeah, exactly. And some people do try a probiotic and 50-50, depending on how sick they are, they aren't able to eat the oxalates yet. Again, it's the weeding, seeding, feeding philosophy, like a garden. You can't ignore where we come from. You got to look at what's there, right? Yeah. So there is a bit of weeding. It's kind of like, okay, you know, sometimes I have friends over, Ray, and I got to clean up the house. When you have guests and friends over, you sometimes got to do house cleaning. That's just like the gut as well. It's not self-cleaning. I wish I had a self-cleaning house. Not there yet. Maybe AI someday, right? Then we'll have AI for the gut too. These are our AI. This is the AI.
Okay, tell me the name, because you keep showing us, and I don't have glasses on, which is partly why I can't see it, but I want to know what this product is for sure.
Maximus. It's our first signature product. It's on Amazon as well, but it's on our website, thegutinstitute.com. Actually, we have thegutinstitute.com/gut reset. It's got two of the Bifida Maximus and one of our Microbiome Mojo, or maybe it goes the other way around. I forgot, but Microbiome Mojo is our second signature formula. Microbiome Mojo, because it gets our mojo back. And it's got two kinds of probiotics. So it's got our first signature blend, which has 5 oxalate degraders. And then it's got some soil spore-based probiotics. Like I really was inspired by Megaspore many, many years ago. So we created something like that. It's got two of the really potent B vitamin makers, riboflavin and others. And it's new and novel to the American market. So it's Bacillus pumilus and Bacillus megaterium. And so like soil, you know, it's nice to have that part of nature. Yeah. So it's really profound. People with IBS, like in a week, boom, Microbiome Mojo takes care of it.
I'm going on all this as soon as we honestly waking up. Yeah. I'm going online. I'm ordering it. Okay. So the question I asked you about everything starting in the gut, and I do focus on the gut. And I think physically, when you're going to start healing the body, that's a great place to begin. But it's the person that shows up to do this, right? So we are consumers through our eyes, our ears, our nose, and our mouth. How we live, what we choose to participate in, what we choose to consume is the human. It's the mind. And so I don't know if you feel this way, but when I work with somebody after 3-4 months, we're doing a lot of physical stuff, changing the diet and everything, but then they show up. And now it's like, wait a minute, are they going to still eat the way they need? Are they going to still take care of themselves? They're going to love themselves in the way that they need in order to stay on the protocol to heal themselves.
Well, they're catching up because you made them feel better, right, Debbie? And then now they got to catch up on their life because they had to put all that on hold. Now they're back. That's good. What a beautiful gift you give them. to live their life again, you know, enjoy their passions again, be with their friends and eat with their friends again. I know it's so sad. Some of the, you know, the people, the restaurateurs, foodies, and they can't even go out and eat with their friends. But if they do the right protocols that work for them, right, energetically and healing their gut, oh my God, in 2 to 4 weeks, they're able to do that again. That's a great gift to give them. And I, you know, I like to people have people, we only take, we're concierge practice. So we only take people's truly, really committed financially, morally, spiritually, because it is, it's a lot. I've been there, you know, I have, I guess, genetics and trauma that are hard. It doesn't just heal like that. Most people are like that as well. They don't just heal like that. They've hit rock bottom for a reason. And because there's true healing to happen. And it's multi-layers. I wish it was easy. You know, if they want to go through life and superficially do it, hey, sure. But they're usually probably going to look at cancer or something fatal, you know, in 10, 20 years, if not sooner now. Like, it's just, our world is just so toxic. We have to up-level because we're serving the collective and maybe our earth as well, if we want to keep living.
Yeah. So my goal, Grace, is what you're speaking about. We have to up level. And yes, to work with people that are trained, that have programs, that are going to be there to intake who are you, not just like you said, it's not about the functional labs, just them. It's who's the person that has this microbiome. And in order to work at that level, it is a time commitment, a money commitment, and really showing up. But my goal is one day, for those that don't maybe have the finances for all this, to create something where it could be done in a group format, where we can offer something that is more cost effective, maybe more community. And it's kind of what I've done with my programming. I've gone to group. So instead of doing the individual, which is a higher ticket, working with me exclusively, analyzing my labs and putting together protocols, I do that still, but I'm working in a group format because I want to try to get more women. And even if we can get the needle moved and start helping, like you said, it's a group collective and our neurons are going to interact with each other.
Yes.
And so if we can, yeah, all, it, we'll be happy and healthy together is what it comes down to.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. I love groups too. We have a couple programs. Yeah. Groups are great. They can hold each other accountable. You know, success kind of breeds themselves more success. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. And I think, like, we're meant to thrive in groups. So, yeah, one-on-one, it's really great when they need a lot of attention and they're, you know, cause that does is required, like, depending on the level of what's going on. Yeah. And you're teaching group classes and you're doing Zooms, like, on yoga as well. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. And I do gut work. So I have healthy gut, healthy bones. I do run labs on some of the people that come in. And then the other people for the lifestyle pieces, that lifestyle information of healing your gut, I teach the lifestyle aspect, which is the, you know, the foundational aspect I would work with somebody with labs on, like changing your diet. So the stress management piece, and tonight I have a class on toxicity and detoxing and how to support your body to detox, to channels of elimination. So just the lifestyle part is group, and then the individual is going over their labs and helping them with their customized programs.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I don't know if you took our Master Gut class. So it's actually a group where they meet with our trained health coach monthly. And so we go through the Mosaic organic acid and IgG food allergy, and we tag and see how allergic they are to their own candida with the Mosaic food panel. It has an anti-candida and also an anti-yeast, anti-saccharomyces IgG, very valuable, because these are the species, again, that make oxalates, which affects all kinds of parts of the body, including calcification. So risk of strokes, heart attacks, calcification of the pancreas, diabetes risk, metabolic syndrome, and insulin resistance. So we go over that. And because stress is such an inherent part of, you know, when our gut's broken, we don't feel well, you know, we're getting garbage into our bloodstream. It's instantly going to break the adrenal glands if your adrenal glands are already screwed up. Yeah. So, the Master Gut class, we love to share it in a group, cause then they all hear each other's stories, right? And they can heal together, and then they're not complaining so much, cause it is like certain things they have to do, they don't want to do, like walk 10,000 steps every day, give up gluten.
Right. And that, exactly. Those are hard things. You know, I have not taken that class, but I want to, I'm going to.
Yes. Yeah.
A forever and then, student.
Yeah. And I don't work in peptides in there, but we you know, in the group class, our staff are trained to talk about it, but you know, it's so much faster to get a little bit of KPV and BPC-157 peptide or even TB4 max oral by mouth. We're not doing injections at that point. So much faster healing. But the peptides aren't cheap, you know. If they do yoga, it's better. Like the peptides are like $150 per month minimum. You add on three, that's almost $500 already per month, right? But if you just do the yoga, you're getting all of it. Mm-hmm. Once a week, yoga.
To me, yoga is the answer. I love it.
I know. And I tell people now, try to find a Kundalini class, either online or whatever, because you're getting the breath work. Oh, it's just so powerful. And that, like what you're talking about, the special breathing, you know, or, you know, breath of fire, which I love, you know, we just need ways to reset because, you know, COVID is such terrible. It's caused cardiac health problems. Like the autonomic dysautonomia is not a joke. People are literally frozen in their vagal nerve and they can't rest and digest. So that's why Kundalini and your yoga practices, it's really important because it can reset that nervous system. And then we do a couple other extra things to get there, like the peptides or nasal peptides. Like we do nasal C-Link and KPV for everybody. They're anti-Marcons, antifungal, and they're pro-mood for the brain. Because whenever you have, you know, leaky gut, you just got leaky brain. It just goes hand in hand. And leaky bones. Yeah. I really definitely don't want people on Fosamax or the other drugs or even the other, you know, immunomodulators. They're all blocking our immune system. And you're gonna be more at risk for future COVID or whatever next gen virus coming down the line.
Yeah. Band-aid solution. It's disease management. It's the unfortunate aspects of conventional medicine.
Totally. And how many implants? That was the start of my health problems. You get a metal in your mouth, your next step is osteopenia, osteonecrosis, whether you're on Fosamax or not. There's no amount of vitamin D that's going to cure that. Yeah. It's a whole body approach. You have to like start to weed and seed and feed correctly. Cause it's tough. It's really tough.
Okay. One question. Cause you brought up heart and we're talking about the heart, salted water and supporting sodium. What do you think about, I mean, cause I do hair mineral tests and I look at sodium levels and they're so low and that's, you know, that whole fear of heart attacks and people on low sodium diets is really low sodium and that's the body's solvent and so important for cellular health. So what do you think?
The reason their salt sodium is so low.
Why do I think so? Well, I think a lot of people have avoided salt.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Could be. They're really intelligent and they follow the low sodium diet. I think even briefly. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm not a fan of that unless they have heart failure, like stage 2, 3, 4 heart failure. Otherwise I think some sodium is good. When we have leaky gut, our cortisol is dysregulated and cortisol is causing that sodium leak. And to put a plug in it, we have to heal the cortisol. We can't have cortisol and oxytocin overlapping. We're either in one state cortisol or parasympathetic, which is oxytocin. We can't be in both. So the more we're in oxytocin, then we're going to retain the salt better. And we're going to sleep at night deeply. We're not going to urinate all night long, get up and urinate because we're stressed. You know, that's causing the urine to get full of sodium at night. And then people pee it all out at night or during the day if they're really bad. So yeah, oxytocin is the key. I'm not saying like have sex, but eye gazing raises it. Yoga raises it. Breath work raises it. Even running, 10 minutes of running is equivalent to 10 minutes of sex for oxytocin. All the ways that we can be resting and digesting and relaxing and meditative, like that will help. But I also do botanicals. I love adaptogens. You know, we do a lot of Chinese formulas. We sell something called Serenogen by Metagenics. I use that a lot. Nano Mojo. We make a Dragon Mojo, which is like super great for stress. Just erupts it, cuts it, aborts it. But there are many really great adaptogenic formulas, but we like to do like 3 or 4 of these all at once and it's really healing. Yeah.
Okay. Grace, you brought up something there. So is it the aldosterone in the adrenal cycle with cortisol, that affects the sodium levels?
Cortisol alone. Like I don't run a Dutch anymore cause it's so expensive and everyone's the same. Cortisol may look fine on Dutch, but then you look at the metabolite. Okay, you look at cortisone and it's either tanked and exhausted because they've now blown out all their stress, they've blown out their adrenal glands, or it's in the red zone. So they don't make their cortisol fine because, you know what? They have a genetic type. They're pushing all the cortisol over to cortisone, the metabolites. And they're equally as effective to binding cortisol receptors in the nucleus and stressing the body out. We just can't stay in that state. We're going to leach all our bones, break our gut, break our brain, break our gonads.
Well, so part of why I asked that question is because urination, I mean, you're younger than me, I'm pretty sure. So urination at night increases and people are peeing all night long. Is part of that because it's an unmanaged stress, whether it's conscious or subconscious, and a dysregulation or an imbalance between the oxytocin cortisol aspects that then is contributing to more urination at night?
Okay, that's really complex. I think you're right. Yeah. And how to abort that is, you know, we just want to knock stress out. So it could be like a meditation at night, a yoga nidra at night. Definitely they have to stop all extremes. No CrossFit, no infrared saunas that are excessive, no saunas, no heat, no cold, excessive. Just the most relaxing sleep hygiene as possible, you know, to stop the urination at night. I have found actually progesterone for both men and women will stop it too.
Yeah, because that becomes something as you age. You know, my population's 50 or 60 plus, and there's excessive urination at night, disrupting sleep.
If they're on Dragon, we have some estrogen blockers there in case the progesterone goes to estrogen, but we'll do like Quicksilver, the progesterone. We do like 5 pumps at night. Bam. They sleep through the whole night. Women might need 7 or 10 pumps, but you gradually up it so they don't get breast tenderness or estrogen dominant signs, and we track all the hormones so they don't go cancerous. But yeah, there's a lot of hacks. And then if they can do, you know, something meditative, relaxing, yoga at night, yoga nidra, just listening to really good yoga nidra, like it puts them in the oxytocin state out of the cortisol. They can go in the cortisol later, you know, the next day, not at night. We need that regeneration, right? Yeah, we heal our bones, I bet, at night.
Yeah, we heal everything. And this is why...
I don't know the time cycle. Yeah, what's the time cycle for bone healing?
Well, I'm not sure. And you mean in Chinese medicine or in Ayurveda, you know, when we're looking at liver, gallbladder, and all the systems that are healed?
Yeah, like for gut, it's not night. That's why I stress sleep so much and adrenal health so much.
Well, I consider the bones to be kind of the you know, they're the bank of all of the stuff. If we were looking at our body and our immune system as I hate to use the term army, but if all of our storage, all of our ammunition to run the show, all of our gas. So, I mean, I know we have the mitochondria in the cells for energy, but really our bones are really holding the nutrients that we need to run the show, so to speak. They have all the so much of the ingredients.
All the stem cells in the bone marrow.
Yeah. So, 3 doses of vitamin G at night before bed can stimulate oxytocin. Gratitude.
Ah, I love that. Yes. Gratitude. Vitamin G. I love
that. Or vitamin Grace.
Yeah. You want a good laugh.
Okay, Grace. This is I did not know what to expect. This is just it just happened, and it could not have happened any better. I am definitely, this is not going to end here for me, because I'm going to figure out a way to get more connected to your company, because Healthy Gut, Healthy Bones is my signature program. And your probiotics are going to be my new favorite probiotics for building up or supporting the bone building aspects inside.
Oh, I'm so grateful for you and like your all the learning you share with people and your deep, deep wisdom, Debbie. Thank you so much for having me on. This was so fun. I just love all the coherence with the India trip, and someday I'll go and yoga, the yogic traditions. It's so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. Bone loss is not an inevitable part of aging. We don't have to just wait for it to happen. There is so much that you can do. And that is what you will learn each week on the show. Go to my website, debbierobinson.com, if you want more information about what was shared in today's episode. At the bottom of this episode in the show notes, there will be links to whatever was shared. Please subscribe to this podcast. Share this podcast with your friends, your family, or any women that you think may be interested or benefit from the information we're sharing.
Please rate the podcast. And if you have any questions you'd like asked or answered, I would love to hear from you. Let's do this, ladies. Let's change the way the world views osteoporosis and slow down, stop, or reverse our bone loss, take charge, and show other ladies what is possible. Thank you so much for joining me.